Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The familiar sound of Bronski Beat Small Town Boy, which will feature with a twist at a special concert on the 20th of June, next Thursday, at the National Concert Hall, because Dublin Pride kicks off its 50th anniversary celebrations with the Shine event in conjunction with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, and it will feature performances from Shobzy, Wallace Bird, the Dublin Gay Men's Chorus, amongst others. And one of the speakers is LGBTQ plus rights activist, historian and DJ Tony Walsh, who is in the studio now. Tony, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
Lovely to have you with us. 50 years, it's a huge milestone for Pride in Ireland, isn't it?
It's a massive milestone. And also, too, it's quite interesting that it's one half of all of the modern Irish Republic. We've only a few years ago celebrated the centenary of 1916. And to think that actually half of that time has also been taken up with some extraordinary activism and civil liberties around gender and sexual rights. Mm.
So you will be discussing that progress, that struggle, what the last number of years have been like.
I don't think I want to talk about the struggle, because that's self-evident. And anyone can mind that. But I'm really interested in how we historicise that struggle and how we make sense of the journey, because we're still on that journey. We're still effectively building a modern Irish Republic, one that's inclusive and one that's empathetic.
Does it concern you how history might be written?
Obviously. Because, you know, every step back into the past inevitably is clouded with revisionism for whatever reason. People's ego, corporate interests, financial interests. So I think we have to be mindful of how we look back, how we make sense of it, how we accommodate a plurality of voices and lived experience. I think that's really important. And to do that, we need to have conversations around the adequacy of our educational system. Are we teaching that history in schools, for example? Do minority people in Ireland see themselves represented in national cultural institutions? It's something as simple as that. I mean, I've been involved, for years with the Irish Queer Archive. We transferred it to the National Library in 2008. And it was a big deal, because for the first time ever, it felt like the state was taking ownership of LGBT heritage. You know, you want to walk into the National Gallery and ask, am I represented there?
Yeah.
Do I see myself represented there? Whether as a result of your ethnicity or your gender or your sexual orientation, that's really important. So we're still involved in the business of accommodating that.
So this event then that I mentioned, the Shine event in conjunction with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, is that one of the flagship moments of Pride this year for you?
It is indeed, along with my walking tours. I'm doing cheap plug here now. I've been doing walking tours since 2009, and they're really good fun, because again, it's about excavating the past, and it's allowing people to eavesdrop on some of our heroes, some of the great stories, and even some of the shabby stuff as well. And to fill in that gaps, to actually to accommodate the absences that I just mentioned to you, I think it's really important. On Thursday at the National Concert Hall, I do really want to riff on the role of memory. Because, I mean, we both know that memory is quite plastic. It can be moulded. It can be used against us. And we do need to sort of, again, I can't overstate it. We need to be mindful of how we accommodate memory. The other thing, too, I think that's really important is every year at Pride, you know, you hear some of the naysayers saying, well, why do you need Pride? Why isn't there a straight Pride or whatever? But we're still on that journey of acceptance and inclusivity. And the other thing, too, is one of the great values of Pride, it's that it's about LGBT people taking a moment to look back at the journey they've been on, the journey of self-discovery and identity, and also asking everybody in Irish society to join them in that process. You know, there's no point in sort of, I always liken something like LGBT liberation, the process, the struggle, to climbing a beautiful mountain that's full of danger, and you go down weird routes and everything else. But here's the kicker. When you get to the top of the mountain, you're usually faced with a gorgeous view. And I always say there's no point struggling to get to the top of the mountain if you don't have somebody to share that with.
To process the view.
Absolutely.
And to take time to experience the view.
Yeah,
and that's what you're talking about at Shine. I have another clip, and this time it's the one and only Kate Bush. And I'm sure we can expect a really unique spin on this with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra's arrangement next week. Let's have a listen. Sounding fresh, even though it was released, Tony, in 1980 by Kate Bush. Your 20s, I know, were spent in the gay civil rights movement in Dublin. And during that time, you were one of the prime movers behind Dublin's LGBT community space, the Hirschfield Centre. So maybe you might tell us what Pride looked like back then.
Well, we didn't have enough people to have a parade or a march, as we were calling them then. We were still protesting our Pride. So we did some ad hoc events like social events, a picnic in Merrion Square. In fact, one year we were asked by the park wardens to leave the park. We had pub zaps to see how many pubs we could be kicked out of for being visibly lesbian or gay. And there were many because it was still legal to discriminate against people before the advent of equality legislation. But they were tremendously vital events in terms of community building and the social spaces that underpinned them. I mean, I would warrant that Pride really took off with the evolution of the Phoenix Centre in Parnell Square in 75 and followed by the Hirschfield Centre in 79. Because at a stroke, you had access to economic and human resources that you could put to the service of organising a week of complex events. And you have to remember, too, this is at a time when there was no statutory funding for this type of endeavour.
Yeah.
And now our corporate funding, now the corporate sector is tripping over itself to be engaged.
Can I ask you about that? Because like there has been criticism in recent times of the commercial capture of Pride and that corporations are using it to advance their reputations. How do you deal with that or how do you consider it?
Well, firstly, call out any pinkwashing when it's self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, the corporate sector can become a convenient whipping boy for people's ire. But we do need them. And I'm always reminded of a really interesting comment that Gilbert Baker made. Gilbert Baker designed the rainbow flag. He was from San Francisco. He designed it for the 1977 Pride Parade in San Francisco. And he was over in Ireland once to do a gig international Gallery of Ireland, and he said some really interesting observation. He said, you know, we're both of a generation where we remember being refused service, where we weren't valued as consumers. And he said, when the corporate sector accommodates us as consumers, that in itself is a form of liberation because it means that you're visible.
Mm-hmm.
You're visible and you have value. Now, I would say that we have to actually modulate the involvement of the corporate sector. It has to be always be on our terms. But the other inconvenient truth is that it's the global corporate sector, the big multinationals like Google and Facebook and Apple, they're the ones who initially drove social inclusion and diversity policies in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So overall,
you welcome it. But you did start by saying you've got to call out pinkwashing when
definitely have to call out pinkwashing. And the other thing, too, is we need the corporate sector to pay for the bloody parade. Nobody else is going to do
it. Well, you mentioned funding back in 75 and 79, which was non-existent. Now, we have a clip from this recent floor filler by Kylie. And I'm sure when you think about next Thursday night in the National Concert Hall, this is really going to get people up out of their seat. Let's have a listen. I suppose that reminds us that Pride is fun.
It absolutely has to be. And, you know, it's It's many things. I mean, I always liken it to a family day out. It's a rave. It's a family day out. It's a form of protest. It's an opportunity to wave goodbye to all our brothers and sisters we left behind, from who died as a result of the AIDS pandemic or as a result of transphobic and homophobic violence. Mm-hmm. And we need those ritual moments of remembrance to wave goodbye, to also, as I said earlier on, also to acknowledge the journey we've been on, and to advance whatever leftover essential conversations are necessary. Because the other thing too is, like, we're talking about equality, we're talking about social inclusion. LGBT people, as a result of their unique queer worldview, have something to offer Irish society. And their inclusion and their, we have to acknowledge that there's a value to their life's journey, to our struggle. You know, and we can put that to the service of the enduring conversations we're having about just building a more humane, a more empathetic, a more just society. That's really important.
And what do you feel is left to do here in Ireland on that score?
I think we need to look at travellers. We're a distinctly, and not just LGBT travellers, are a distinctly oppressed and othered group. We need to have some real honest conversations around how we accommodate new Irish immigrants, both those who are established here and ones who are just arriving on our shores, in terms of social inclusion policies and education and productive involvement in Irish society. We need to talk about the North. We could be here all day talking about that, you know, because I think people down south, many people down south have turned their back on the North historically for good reasons, the trauma of the Civil War and everything. But we're never going to advance a reunited Ireland if we don't actually engage with people up there and their unique cultural and social values as well. And then the other thing too is, and I'm sure this has appealed to you, we also need to acknowledge Ireland's agency in its international relations, its soft power, its diplomatic power. We're a small country, but we've historically punched above our weight. Mm-hmm. And we can put the whole process of how we've been building our society, this what I call this new republic, a model republic, we can put that experience to the service of other countries who are looking on, countries in Eastern Europe or the Baltic countries who are looking on and going, how did Ireland pull itself up by the bootstraps over the last 30 years?
So, you know, we can use our experience to help other countries emulate what we've achieved here.
I'd go one step further. I think we have a duty of care to do that. Mm.
Well, look, the Dublin Pride Festival, in collaboration with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, presents that Shine concert, which we've been talking about. That's next Thursday, the 20th of June, at the National Concert Hall in Dublin. And it's also on Friday, the next day, the 21st, this day week, at University Concert Hall, Limerick, as part of the Limerick Summer Proms. Musical guests include Wallace Bird, Susan McFadden, Jodie Kay, and the Dublin Gay Men's Chorus. And the Dublin event will also have contributions from Tony Walsh, who you've just been listening to here in the studio, Dr. Mary McAuliffe, Martin Beans Ward, Philippa Ryder, and many more. And if you'd like to get more details, see rte.ie/CO. Tony, lovely to have you
in
with us. And I hope you have a great celebration, and that event in particular, which sounds really special, goes well for you. We're going to play out now on Take That and Shine.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.